Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Let's go to San Francisco now, where officials estimate there are at least 6,700 homeless people living on the streets on any given night. The city's tried lots of policies, but through it all, San Francisco's homeless population has stayed basically the same for the last decade. In the last few years, it's become a lot more visible, as well as gentrification and development have pushed people who used to live in alleys and out of sight into tent cities right across the city. Kevin Fagan is a reporter for the San Francisco Chronicle who's been covering homelessness for years in the city. He says in San Francisco, the issue boils down to the wealth divide.
San Francisco has one of the greatest splits between rich and poor in the country, and it's one of the least affordable cities in the country. And about 70% of the homeless people we have on our streets started out in San Francisco. So you have people bouncing into poverty from non-poverty, and then you have people coming in from outside. There's a churn. San Francisco made a lot of headway in the mid-2000s by ramping up its supportive housing programs significantly, and then it got stuck. And it's been able to house about 22,000 people over the last decade, but we still have a core of about 6,700 on the streets and couch surfing and in shelters at all times.
Is there a belief then that simply an expansion of the supportive housing that has worked to some extent, at least until the 2000s, as you mentioned, might be part of the solution here? I mean, can San Francisco build its way out of this problem?
There's a belief that that's the way. Sure. There was an initiative launched just this last week or so to house all homeless families within the next 3 years. And that's by using an infusion of new money. The trick is to ramp up quick and then stay ahead of the curve.
I assume in San Francisco, like so many other places, even if these efforts work, you get the argument that staying ahead of the curve and providing housing for homeless people simply changes the incentive structure, provides a perverse incentive, and attracts more homeless people.
Well, you got to use a little stick with the carrot is the general thought. But the bottom line is you save money by housing chronically homeless people. Your typical chronically homeless person in San Francisco costs about $80,000 a year in emergency services to leave them on the street. This is in police calls, cleanup calls, you know, jail stints, and all that. And that's just an average. Now, you put someone into supportive housing, your average cost is about $20,000. It's very simple math.
And now, like in so many American cities, gentrification is a huge force in San Francisco. That does mean this clash between renovation, higher property values, new building, and homeless people who need a place to stay but might have been living in that neighborhood for a long time. How has this clash happened in the city? What does it look like?
Well, it looks like there are more homeless people when there really aren't, because what you have is areas that used to be good hidey holes for people, nice enclaves where you could get away and camp, and they're being developed. And so it's displacing homeless people. So they move to other parts of the city. And suddenly the people in the other parts of the city say, oh my gosh, look at all these homeless people. Another thing that's happened is some really kind-hearted citizens, which some people say are misguided, have been giving tents out to homeless people. So you have more tents than usual.
Is the city more or less tolerant than it was? Is the desire to deal with this problem in a prospective way changing at all?
I don't think so. I've been looking at this for 20 years and more in areas all over the country. It's not new. In fact, San Francisco has some of the more innovative programs in the country. You know, it's one of those things where a lot of times you feel like you're shoveling the tide. But you make headway. Like I said, they house 22,000 people. I'm not trying to sound like Pollyanna here, but there's a lot of progress that gets made. It's getting ahead of it. That's the trouble. And when you have so much poverty in the country that doesn't really get noticed because that's what we've become used to, there's a continuous fountain of poor and desperate people who wind up in our streets.
Kevin Fagan of the San Francisco Chronicle, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Just 90 miles northeast of San Francisco, the city of Sacramento and its mayor are also trying to go big in addressing homelessness and mental illness. The new mayor is Daryl Steinberg, and the plan is to free up at least 1,500 housing units for currently homeless people by the springtime. Ultimately, Steinberg says the goal is to achieve what he calls functional zero, the point at which there are more housing units than homeless people who need them. The mayor says he wants tent cities out and instead wants a more permanent solution.
The real solution is increasing our inventory of permanent housing, increasing our capacity to do assertive clinical outreach on the streets, increasing our capacity for case management and supportive services. We know what works here. We just need to commit ourselves to increasing the inventory of what works.
So you call it fair share housing. Is that what that is? Just increasing the number of roofs and the inventory of affordable or low-income housing?
Yes. I mean, in our best programs here in Sacramento, when people want help, when we've got the services to be able to provide them, there is a multi-month wait to get any kind of permanent housing. And that's essentially the problem. It's not housing only, because housing only doesn't work either. But when you combine housing with assertive outreach and case management and supportive services, we can get most people off the streets. And I've seen it work. You know, I authored California's Proposition 63, the Mental Health Services Act. And it's a 1% tax on million-dollar earners, been in place since 2004. And in Sacramento County, for example, we've got 750 people who are housed, getting the services they need currently as a result of Prop 63, similar numbers throughout the state. It's just that the problem in many respects is outstripping the resources. Well, we have more work to do.
How much more inventory do you need to effectively deal with the problem that you have in the county now?
Well, in our city and county, the numbers vary, and it's very difficult to get what they call a point-in-time number. But we're going to seek in the near term close to 2,000 units of permanent housing. We think that will make a big dent. And let me be clear, Todd, about something. You know, no good politician would ever say that they can cure this problem, and I certainly don't think we can cure it. I just think we can make it much better. And that's what we aim to do here in Sacramento.
And so you're talking about a bond issue in Sacramento to help fund this. Are citizens behind borrowing the money to increase the housing stock that you're talking about?
Well, if I might clarify, what we did here, remember, I'm the former head of the state Senate in California. And so I left office because of term limits in 2014. I worked with my successor, Kevin De Leon from Los Angeles, the current president of the Senate. And he passed a $2 billion state bond using Proposition 63, the Mental Health Act, basically bonding against a small percentage of the ongoing revenue. So we now have $2 billion of state funding to be able to put to this problem, not just for Sacramento, but for the other cities and counties throughout the state. The state will take a little time. It's going to take a year and a half, 2 years before that money begins to flow, we think. And so what we're going to do in Sacramento is we're going to look at some of our public housing stock that already exists for low-income people where there are vacancies. We're going to try to direct some more of that housing to the homeless problem, and we think we can get at least the beginning of creating the inventory through that method.
Mayor, a lot of cities, including my hometown of Washington, D.C., require developers when they build high-flying, high-priced new condos to devote a share of the building or a share of the property value to low-income housing. They get the developers involved and they force them to be involved. Sacramento have anything like that?
Well, we do, but it's not strong enough. We have what's called a housing trust fund that's basically paid out of fees from developers. And frankly, there's just not enough money in it. And so, you know, I've been mayor now for a little over 3 weeks, and one of my top priorities is to find ways to not only replenish, but to enhance that housing trust fund so that we have more ability to build or to rehabilitate workforce in affordable housing.
So you're dealing with this problem locally, obviously, Mayor, and on the state level where you just came from. If you look east to Washington, the debate over Obamacare and even a longer-term debate over Medicaid, communities like yours could be facing some substantial cuts to Medicaid in the next couple of years. And that seems like it might put pressure on what you're trying to do in quite the opposite way.
There's no question about it. I mean, what we've worked very closely with the Obama administration to gain what they call waivers under the Medicaid, what we call Medi-Cal here in California. And some of those waivers now enable us, for example, to provide what we call whole person care, whatever it takes for people who are on the street and dealing with severe mental illness. And so those dollars and the flexibility that we now have is really important. And of course, we're all, to put it mildly, nervous about the new administration, the Trump administration, on a whole host of levels. And, you know, as I've said many times out here since November the 8th, we will work with the administration where we can, and we will fight it and him where we must. And certainly, there are a lot of areas for concern, and that's one of them.
So, Mayor Steinberg, you've been mayor just for 3 weeks, as you've said. So what's the metric of success here? What's the promise where voters in Sacramento will know if you've followed through on this new housing and your new program for the homeless?
The measure ought to be whether or not it's simply better, and whether people feel it's better, and whether we can show that the numbers on the street are less than when I started. I have no illusions about how difficult this is going to be. But, you know, what's the point of holding, you know, responsible high public office if you're not going to try to make better a social condition that, frankly, to all of us, we've grown numb to? The fact that in 2017, in our state, in our country, that this condition persists, we know we can do much better. And I'm going to try. That's what I promise. I'm really going to try.
Functional Zero is the goal against homelessness for Daryl Steinberg. He's the new mayor of Sacramento, California. Mayor, thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. Look forward to being on again.